My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I hope that this episode finds you well, that you are surrounded by people and relationships that are treating you in the way that you deserve, that are making you feel supported, seen, whole, adored, and if not, that you are on your way to cutting ties to make space for the people who will and do treat you in that way. And if you don't know how to do that, then you are in the right place, where we talk about healing our relationship with ourselves, healing our relationship with others, and all the things in between. So with that said, I was thinking how it would be so great for us to have a series. I talk about so much here, from childhood trauma to love addiction to attachment to friendships to mother wound relationships, all the things, right? All the things that we need in order for us to have the life relationships that we want. So what I want to do is I want to start making series, but I want to start making series that are grouping together the things that we've already talked about here so that you can have easy access to kind of study what is here. I know sometimes I've done throwback episodes of some of my greatest hits, or episodes that I know that y'all have really told me that you've enjoyed, love downloading, sharing with other people. But I want to do a series where I'm grouping some of my favorite episodes together to kind of give you a crash course on what you need to know about that subject. And so I've decided I want to start the series with the topic of love addiction. So no surprise, right, is what I focus on here in the podcast. But if I wanted to give you 4 to 5 episodes for sure that I want you to listen to gain the concepts of, to take in, that's what we're going to do here. Now, we are already, with love addiction being the first topic, last week, low-key, we've already started that series, if that's the case, because last week's episode was about the 4 archetypes of love addiction. And when I upload this, I may change that episode's title to be included, like Love Addiction Series, just so that if you are joining the series in the middle, or if this is the first one, you already know, wait, okay, this is something that I can binge listen to. But yeah, we're going to continue that series with today's episode. Now, today's episode, I'm throwing back to talking about childhood emotional neglect, because childhood emotional neglect is the ongoing issue for any and every person that I have ever supported. This is regardless of family structure, you know, whether or not there are both parents in a home, whether or not you were surrounded by extended family, single parent, adopted, foster care, any and everything in between. It doesn't matter what your family structure has been, because childhood emotional neglect is not about the things that did happen, it's about the things that didn't happen. So I know I've already referenced it here and there over the last couple of episodes, but I wanted to pull one of the episodes that goes into it in depth, because I know it's something that has been really helpful for those who are trying to put words to what they have felt. So let's go ahead and jump on in. There may be another mini intro to that episode, because I'll be introducing that episode to let you know what I'll be teaching. But let's go ahead and jump on in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. I hope that you are having a wonderful day, that you're shining, that you're thriving, and that you are living your best life today. And I hope that this podcast episode helps you get a little bit closer to the life that you want and that you desire. So today's episode, we are talking about the impact of childhood emotional neglect and how it leads to the behaviors of love addiction. So childhood emotional neglect is a type of childhood trauma. It is the type of trauma that I see in 100% of the people that I serve. No matter whether or not you are connected to love addiction, love avoidance, if you just have low self-esteem, anxiety, depression that is caused by the traumas that you have gone through, all the common denominator across the board is childhood emotional neglect. And it is so important to know what this is, because I think what trips up a lot of people when it comes to breaking down the root causes of why they may have repeated relationship issues and struggles with low self-esteem, and they're doing all the right things and nothing is really adding up, nothing is really changing. Maybe they look back at their life and they think, you know, I had parents that sacrificed for me. Maybe they were immigrants and they came here. Maybe they just went through struggle. Maybe they were always successful, but they just worked really hard and they were physically present and gave me everything I wanted. Why do I feel this way? Why do I continue to have these types of self-doubts? Why do I keep being attracted to or attracting certain types of partners? No, change that. Why do I keep being attracted to versus attracting? I really want to work on my language and amend what I've said in previous years, that we are attracting certain types of people, because I really want y'all to know that there is always, always, always people who are available for you to love and who want to love you around you. However, when we are used to the foolishness, when trauma and drama has been normalized, that's the stuff that's on our radar. And so when we have healthy and available people, we don't even see them. And if we do see them, we feel uncomfortable. It feels like it's a little bit too much. We're not as interested. And so just our barometer is more, and it might not be, that might not be the right word, but we are more tuned into people who live in that state of dysfunction, not because it's what we want or what we actually are looking for, but it's just what's familiar to us. And just as humans, we always search for what is familiar, even if it causes problems, even if it causes drama. The body wants what it is comfortable with. It wants a sense of homeostasis. And until we actively unlearn those patterns and until we actively heal these things and replace it with different things, what is common and what is normal for my body, what my body knows is how to deal with up and down fights. What my body knows is how to deal with roller coaster emotions. What my body knows is how to deal with people who are in and out, because I've been dealing with that my whole life. Yeah, it causes stress, but it's familiar. So that's where our work comes into play. But I think it really trips up people who feel like, I have no reason to feel this way when you look back at it. But childhood emotional neglect is the common denominator. So we are going to talk about that in this episode. We're going to talk about how and why it leads to love addictive behaviors. We'll come back on a later date and talk about how emotional neglect leads to love avoidant behaviors. But that's what we're going to take a deep dive in today. So let's go ahead and jump on in. Okay, so for us to get started, let's go ahead and break down these terms. We're going to break down emotional neglect, childhood emotional neglect, and we're also going to break down what is love addiction in case there are any newbies who are joining us here today. So childhood emotional neglect is a type of trauma that happens when we are younger, and it is not about the things that happened, it's about the things that didn't happen. And so usually when people hear the term neglect, especially if you come from what you believe and what you've been told and what society tells us is the perfect home, the type of home where you do not have a right to feel the way that you feel, right? You had either one very dedicated parent or two very dedicated parents and, you know, aunties, uncles, or whatever. Maybe you financially were secure and safe. Maybe your parents were physically available and came to games and did all this stuff with you. And so y'all had a lot of family time together, you know, and so you're like in your head and you're like, I was never neglected. I had all of the attention and love and support that I needed. So why do I feel empty this way? Why do I feel this ache on the inside of me? What is it that I am not getting and understanding? And so it makes you feel like you are being selfish, that you're being ungrateful, that you're betraying your parents for feeling this way, or the people who raised you for feeling this way. And it creates a whole lot of confusion and self-resentment and self-blaming, and then you feel even worse. So it's a very vicious cycle. But emotional neglect, childhood emotional neglect, is not about the things that
happened is about the things that didn't happen. Every time that you emotionally needed to be seen, valued, and honored as another human being, as a soul, every time you needed to be comforted and held and loved just for being you. So sometimes in these households that are supposedly perfect and everything is, you had everything you needed, so there's no reason for you to feel this way, where the emotional neglect comes in at can look like maybe there was some love and affirmation, but it was only when you did the things that they wanted you to do. You had to earn that approval that they showed you with their attention or their disconnection when you had disappointed them. And more than just they want good for you, but just kind of like disgust. Like, would they ever look at you in disgust when you made a mistake? Would they stonewall and shut down when you did something that to them was unsavory? Did they ever withhold attention and time from you to teach you a lesson? Were they super critical? And so when the praise came, it was hard won and far in between and sporadic. Did you have parents who were physically present, but they were so consumed with their own work, with their own addictions, with each other, with their own affairs, with their own depression, that they may have been physically there, but they weren't mentally and emotionally there. So all of the care and love and support that you needed as a child, they were not able to provide. And so one of the things that happens as a young child, when you're watching this and your parents and your family are your world, is a child goes through all the reasons why they must be the problem or how to fix the problem. And so how do I make mommy happy? How do I make daddy happy? How do I, you know, make myself smaller? How do I become the perfect daughter? How do I become the perfect big sister or little sister? How do I become the clown of the family? And you do all this stuff to try to make things better. And one, as a child, you know, it was never your responsibility to try to fix them, but you don't know that. And you start to believe that it is your responsibility to fix people. You start to believe that this is part of your ownership to make sure everything goes well. And you start to learn that for you to go along, to get along in the family, you have to minimize some of these needs. So let me go back a moment. So let's say family members are unavailable either because maybe they've gone through their own trauma, right? Maybe they were physically, sexually abused, right? Or emotionally abused. And so maybe that's not happening with them towards you, but it has prohibited access within themselves of how they know how to be caring and loving. So they don't really know softness. They don't really know tenderness. I hear that from my students all the time. You know, they've been through a lot. So I understand why they aren't able to do that. So are you trying to be understanding and you trying to be graceful and if you trying to and you trying to give compassion, what you've done is in order for you to exalt them and to empathize with them, you have demoted yourself. You've demoted what you actually need emotionally. You've demoted what actually is important to you. It's okay. I know that I really needed a hug, or I know that I really needed to be spend some time with them, but they're going through a lot, or it was really hard for them. You know, they had just gotten to the country, so, you know, they really didn't have time and space to focus on me, or, you know, they had just gotten through a divorce, or, you know, insert whatever thing was happening, which may have been a real reason, but you make excuses to why what you needed emotionally was just more of a burden and why it made sense that you weren't attended to. And what I need you to know is no matter what was going on in the house, no matter what was not going on in the house, you as a child, you deserved and you needed to have all of that emotional care and love for you to feel whole and complete and secure. What our parents give us is not just access to food, shelter, water, you know, clothing. They also help instill where our safety comes from. They teach us how and where to be rooted and how and where to be planted. And if I grow up in a house where I am not emotionally safe to be myself, to cry, to be angry, to have a voice, to have an opinion, to make mistakes, I live my life with my feet always in hot potato. Like, I can never actually put my feet on the ground because I always have to stay ready. And so emotional neglect doesn't teach you how to build these emotional resources within yourself. It doesn't teach you that it's okay to have emotional needs and then also that someone's going to attend to them, that you have to learn how to deal with them yourself or just neglect them altogether and just become what other people need you and want you to be in that moment. And this sense of emotional repression is the perfect backdrop that leads into love addictive behavior. So love addiction is a type of intimacy disorder that is based in the persistent obsession of a person, a relationship, or the fantasy of a person or relationship who you want them to be, and mistaking that intense connection or that intense obsessive connection to them for love. Because I feel this strongly, it must be love. Like this, they must be my person. And yeah, we go through things and yeah, things aren't perfect, but I wouldn't feel this way if it really wasn't true love and connection. But actually, it is trauma. And the reason why it is trauma is one, going back to what I was saying at the beginning, if the type of relationship that we're in is dangerous to us emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, sexually, and we still are trying to stay there and make it work. And I said dangerous, y'all. Not inconvenient, not uncomfortable sometimes. You know, relationships have their ups and downs, but if something is dangerous to us in those ways, and danger does not have to look like someone is knocking you upside the head. Danger looks like you feeling low about yourself, causing stress in your body, feeling depressed, feeling anxious, you being caught in the middle of love triangles and being tossed and used by other people. When you are a child of emotional neglect, your threshold for what danger looks like and what is unhealthy for you is so low. You know, we talk about the bar being in hell. When you experience childhood emotional neglect, you really don't really have a baseline of what the actual bare minimum standard is. There really is no bare minimum standard, which is why sometimes you can tell people what's happening in your relationship if you're still telling people, because a lot of times love addicts will try to live in secret about what's going on because they feel shame. Because when you tell your friend or family member, they look at you and they're like, what's happening? And you feel like, oh, here you go. You know, you can't tell everybody everything. They're being judgmental and they don't understand. You know, there are circumstances here. They don't know her. They don't know him. And you make all these justifications in your head, but it's because you don't understand what is emotionally, mentally, spiritually, sexually, financially dangerous. But other people who are outside of that, who aren't caught in this traumatic cycle, they see it. Right? And they care for you and they love you. And as a love addict, again, as a person who is a victim of childhood emotional neglect, you've spent your whole life demoting yourself to promote other people. And so, you know, even if you do see that this is uncomfortable or bad for you, you will sacrifice yourself to be there for somebody else, even when it is tearing you down from the inside out, you know? And so these relationships are the perfect backdrop, or these love addictive relationships are the perfect band-aid for those who've gone through childhood emotional neglect, because you've been repressing your emotional needs. They haven't gone anywhere. You haven't, no matter how much you try to harden yourself and no matter how much you try to outprove and out-earn or out-succeed, whatever your underlying negative core beliefs are, they don't go anywhere. They're there until we work through them. They are there until we actually handle them. And just acknowledging that they're there, you know, I hear a lot of people before we start working together say things like, yeah, like I've been through some things, but I'm working on it. And I'm like, how are you working on it? Well, you know, I'm just trying to be mindful. You know, I'm just trying to like keep my boundaries. And I'm like, girl, that doesn't mean anything. If you've ever listened to an episode of Black Girls Heal and thought that was powerful, but now what? BGH Members Club is for you. Inside, you'll get ad-free bonus episodes and an archive library of all of our current episodes without ads as well. In-depth worksheets for every topic we cover and special drop-in lessons to help you actually apply what you're learning. This is your space to reflect, grow, and make real changes in your healing journey. Join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members and take the next step towards becoming your healthiest version of you. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. And recently I learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It's actually more hormones that are at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, and you just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me a personalized insight
into what might be happening with my hormones so that I can start to do better. And the quiz suggested that I have symptoms that may align with having high estrogen, which is one of many hormones that Hormone Harmony can help to regulate. Hormone Harmony's herbal formula doesn't just help with estrogen, though. It assists with testosterone, and it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which we all know can wreak havoc on the nervous system and everything it's connected to. Though big changes often help, smaller habits like taking supplements, like Hormone Harmony, can offer a huge impact as well. Taking care of your hormones is about investing in your long-term health. If you don't know where to start, take their free hormone quiz and you'll learn more about your hormone balance and how you can make small, intentional changes to support your body. And whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, this quiz helps to guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take the free 2-minute hormone quiz today. And for a limited time, you'll also get 50% off your entire first order with my code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today.
Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, available in the U.S. For New York, 8778. HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers, subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You trying to be mindful about what's going on without actually, one, getting to the root of what's happening, two, looking at what are your thoughts around it, three, figuring out what your patterns are around why you've been doing what you've been doing, four, replacing those patterns with different actions and behaviors, five, hitting the roadblocks of what happens when you try to replace it on your own, or when you try to replace it with help and getting stuck and then asking for help to get unstuck. Six, dealing with the shame and embarrassment that happens when you realize that your smartness and your type A-ness and your perfectionism cannot outdo your trauma response, and so practicing self-love on the other side of it. Like, there are so many layers to working through this, y'all. And we get so caught up and we get stuck and we feel shame around it because we are not realizing how deep this stuff goes. That this stuff takes active, deliberate work, help and support to unlearn it and to work through it. Okay. It takes an active choosing of yourself. It takes an active choosing to ask for help. It takes an active stepping out and allowing other people to see you in this process.
Love addiction is an intimacy disorder. You do not solve a fear of intimacy, a fear of being seen, a fear of being loved, a fear that if someone actually saw me and got to know me, by yourself. That is just reinforcing those fears that it's only safe for me to do this on my own because other people don't want to see all my mess. Other people, it's just going to burden them. They're going to think this is too much. That is literally your wound. Your wound that believes you're so much and too much and people don't have time for you. So you're going to work through this on your own because you feel like people don't have time for you and people aren't going to understand you. You know, like, it's the snake eating its own tail. And so the first step is getting out of this by asking for support and help and letting yourself not have to have all the answers. And that's for those of us where our trauma has, we have to be perfect in order to be loved. I know that's not everybody. I know some people, they get to the extreme that they go into is the self-deprecation and the self-loathing and feeling like you're never going to be good enough. And other people go towards the other extreme of like, I have to always be good enough. So anyways, going back to how childhood emotional neglect really leads to love addictive behaviors is because you haven't had that emotional care
and nurturance and concern and love just because growing up and is still a need. When you find a relationship with someone who is giving you that emotional care and love, or these crumbs of it, or a semblance of it, you're like, great, awesome. This is it. Because you've never really had the good stuff before. It makes me kind of think of how sometimes you'll see on social media, Instagram, TikTok, whatever, parents who are taking their 3-4-year-olds on dates, you know, so maybe a father taking their little girl out on a date, or, you know, treating them to a certain standard because they want their child to know growing up that this is just like baseline. Like, this should be what you're getting no matter what. So if anyone tries to come to you with some McDonald's or, you know, some Chick-fil-A and acting as if they have hung the moon for you, that you can be like, yo, this, are you serious? Because your tastes have been refined in this way. And so if you emotionally have been starved, if you emotionally have been deprived, and someone starts to send you good morning texts every day, you're like, oh, wow, this is something special. If you have been told that your feelings and emotions are too much and you have a date that's 3 or 4 hours and they listen to your life story, you're like, oh, wow, they really understand me. When really your friends and family members should be holding space for you like this all the time. Like that this is not anything special that they're giving you, but you've never had it. So it is special for you. When you have someone who wants to spend lots of time around you or with you, when you have been ignored and overlooked or scapegoated your whole life, or maybe you grew up in a family where there were two people physically present in the home, but they were so caught up with work or caught up with their own mental illness or caught up with their addiction, and you have someone who's always available with time, you've never had that before, right? You never had that level of attention. So now this must be it. I have someone who I finally get and who gets me. No, girl, a lot of times you have someone who doesn't have anything going on in their own life. So they spend their time with you, you know, like it's hard for you to see with clear eyes what's going on.
And one more, just because I know that it's common, you know, if you grew up without having really any access to physical affection and support, so maybe there weren't a lot of hugs, maybe there wasn't, or at least maybe not enough, and definitely not any that didn't have with strings attached. When you get into a relationship with someone, or let me say it this way, that same family situation, but even as you've grown up as an adult, you don't really have hugs from friends. You don't really have any cuddle time. You don't have any semblance of continual, consistent physical affection. You've taught yourself that you really don't need it, that it's weird, that you're not really a physical touch person. And then you get into a relationship, and let's say you are someone who's secretly a physical touch person, but you just never had access to it. When you get into a relationship with someone who gives that to you, the truth that you never allowed yourself to say out loud, or that you didn't even know was true, those needs are being met through this physical, sexual, intimate relationship with this person. And so you need it. You crave, you miss those moments of being cuddled up on the couch or in bed with someone, because that has been a source of affection for you. And maybe continuing on, the only times that you actually have access to physical support and love is in intimate relationships. And so that could fuel your need to be a serial monogamer, your need to consistently be out on dates, your need to have all this, because you just want to be held and you just want to be touched, and you don't know how to, you don't want to ask your healthy friends. You don't want to ask your community around you and be that vulnerable and say, I just need a hug today, right? Because you're so used to doing it on your own. And don't get lost in the weeds here, because I know, and I hear that there are some people saying, well, what if you don't have any friends? Or what if, you know, all the what if situations. Take the underlying message of what I'm saying, which is you have been in deprivation from an unmet need. And so you've been using the replacement, or you've been using these unhealthy connections to other people who've been giving you pieces of that, and you've been settling for it. And so that's why you've been staying there. So there's an assignment that we have
in the recovery school that's called Who's Your Daddy, which is one of my favorite assignments. And, you know, I did it at the retreat. I want to at the October retreat. Each of the retreats, I curate the curriculum based on what the attendees want to learn about and talk about. And so at the October retreat, they wanted to talk about dating. So we did the Who's Your Daddy exercise. And so this exercise basically helps you see, okay, what are the patterns that I've been recreating? Who have I been dating? What are the invisible things that I've been trying to look for? And why? What have I been hoping to get from this? And how do I start this process on starting to give it to myself, right? And it's only by the awareness of this stuff that we can actually start to break the patterns. It's not about shaming ourselves and guilting ourselves. I really hope that if you're in this process where you're just starting and you're coming to a place where like, I'm tired of being sick and tired and you're feeling a lot of regret, you have done the best you've known how with the information that you've had. And that may go in one ear and out the other. I know sometimes it does for me, or it has for me in the past, but it's true. You didn't know what you didn't know and you're still learning. So how can you fault yourself for not being prepared with what is the base minimum standard? How can you fault yourself for you as a little girl just existing in your family unit, just existing and not being attended to and loved? That wasn't your job to try to teach other people how to love you and don't forget me and remember me and hug me and love me. That was your birthright. You've always deserved that. And so you have not done anything wrong, my dear. And I want you to start to practice some self-forgiveness in that area. And knowing that as long as you start to show up for yourself and make these active changes, then your story is not over. You can change where this narrative is going at any time. So I hope this helped. I hope this starts to put words to why and where emotional childhood neglect may have been affecting you and leading you to these band-aid relationships. Some of you may have learned about childhood emotional neglect for the first time today. There is a book, what is it called? It was called Running on Empty by Dr. Jonas Webb that talks about emotional neglect. So she doesn't really talk as much as about what to do with it. I mean, she gives some things about it, but I think she does the best job of breaking down what it looks like and really validating your experience so that you know that it's not just you. So that would be a great resource for you. As far as those of you who are like, okay, this totally makes sense and I'm ready to break this pattern, all those steps that I talked about, you know, realizing what it is, naming it, saying that you're ready for change, then also learning how to replace those behaviors, learning skills and tools to start to retrain how you talk to yourself, when you talk to yourself, to learn how to give yourself that nurturance and care and concern, starting the process, then getting distracted, starting the process and then hitting walls, learning how to reach out for help, learning how to practice self-compassion that you can't do this all on your own, learning how to really go deep in this self-acceptance work so that you can be that shining beacon where this is now your new base standard and you bring that new level of self-acceptance, self-love, self-knowledge into all these relationships. You know, I was talking to someone actually yesterday, one of my current students, and she was telling me, she's like, I don't know why this keeps happening. She's, you know, just kind of getting started in this process and going through some of the family lessons. And she's like, I love myself. Like, I think I'm amazing. I think I'm beautiful. I think I'm successful. And while she's talking, I feel this sense of sadness. She's saying it to me with big eyes and a big smile. And, you know, but I told her after she was done, I was like, okay, so how are you feeling right now? She started to tell me what she was thinking. I was like, no, how do you feel right now? And so then she told me some positive feelings. And I was like, well, is there any part of you that feels any kind of insecurity and lack and fear? She's like, oh yeah, yeah, I do. So we talked about that for a little bit. And I was like, so I want you to notice that when I asked you what you were thinking, what you were feeling, you told me how you thought. And also, there are all these other negative things that you weren't really being in touch with or that you knew about, but you went directly towards the positive ones. And also, I noticed some other things that we were talking about in the conversation, but really, I think I bring that up because I see often with people who are like, I have no idea why this keeps happening. I love myself. But there is, because you're in your body and you've been doing this for so long, you've been repressing your emotions for so long, you've been repressing your truth for so long, you don't even know when you're gaslighting yourself. Like you don't even know when there are other levels of vulnerability that you can tap into and you don't really know how to get there. And even if you do know how to get there, you may feel some shame about it and you feel the need to correct it. You feel the need to, as soon as you say something negative, like, okay, well, yeah, I guess this does make me feel kind of bad, but I know that it has nothing to do with me. Or I know it's because of trauma. Like you're so quick to try to clean it up because you have discomfort with being in your emotions and being in touch with that because you feel like that means something about you. And also you don't really know what to do with it other than fix it because someone has always told you that you are a problem that needs to be fixed. And y'all, when I tell you this stuff is so reflexive that you don't catch it until it's done, and then you don't even see where the switch came on, so then you're just left with the consequences of it, and then you feel like a bad person. This is all the reason why we need a community. We need a tribe. We need helpers outside of us to see what we cannot see. Otherwise, we stay stuck in these cycles over and over and over and over again to the place where we either just say, okay, that's it, I give up. I'm not even going to focus on this anymore. I'm just going to focus on myself, whatever that means, because these problems are a part of yourself. They are absolutely affecting your mental and emotional and psychological. Well, I guess that's all the same, but your mental and physical and emotional and spiritual sense of self is affecting your self-esteem. Also, again, repression doesn't push it away. So you work on yourself, again, whatever that means, forever long, and then you have to come back to this relationship work. And so you feel like you're starting the process all over again, or a lot of people just feel frozen in fear and feel stuck. And so I don't want y'all to feel that way. I don't want y'all to feel that way. So I would love to work with you in our recovery school. It is our coaching program where we teach you all these skills. We get to the roots. We break it down for you. We help you work through what is the roadblock. We teach you how to talk to yourself instead. We teach you these are the things to look for in relationships. This is what a healthy friendship looks like. This is what a healthy relationship. This is what it looks like to create a dating plan if you're someone who's single. This is what it looks like to communicate with your partner. This is what it looks like. And we build it all together. And it comes with our peer community support group that you can join. And if you're listening to this live and you join now before the end of 2023, you can join in for the remainder of our live cohort and our weekly coaching calls through the holidays. So you can join by going to therecoveryschool.com, which will redirect you to the enrollment page, and you can read more about the program, what it includes, what it entails, or you can go to our main website, blackgirlsheal.org, and go there. You're able to get started immediately. And again, you have the opportunity to have a free bonus where you can join into our weekly group coaching calls through the end of 2023 through holiday season to get extra support and care and love from me during our calls. So would love to have you, would love to welcome you in, and you keep lifetime access to the course so that you can keep referring to the skills, the support, the community as needed next year. And I sent an email for those of you, some of you are Recovery School alumni, but you are no longer on our list. And so I've been meaning to make a social media post and I have not had an opportunity to. So if that's you, listen up. Recovery School alumni, we are going to Puerto Vallarta next November for a reunion. So many of us have made some really great friendships and sisterhood. Some of us were, you know, popping in and scoping the scene, but getting a lot of benefit. And some of us were really, really there and holding it down. And then life took off. We got what we needed and we left and our spread our wings. And I love that for us. And I would love, love, love to see everybody again, to be in one place. So you are invited to our Recovery School reunion. Also, anybody who enrolls, you are also invited to join us. We will be going to, well, I'm not going to tell you where we're going because it's for us only. But we will be going to a very nice all-inclusive resort in November. And I'm also not going to tell you what weekend because you can email me if you are not, if somehow you unsubscribed or you got unsubscribed. and we can give you that information. And we would love to have you. We're going to be doing yoga classes. We're going to be doing Pilates. We're going to be on the beach doing nothing and just also talking about life, love, and connection. So I can't wait to see some of y'all there, and love on y'all. Hug you, cut up, twerk, drink a little bit. I can't wait. So a year is going to go very quickly. But yes, email us if you either did not get the email. Sometimes it goes to promotions, or if you're like, oh, yeah, I'm not on the list anymore. What's the deets? And we can get you connected to our travel coordinator to get set up. So, all right, that's it. I love you all so much. I look forward to welcoming in our new Recovery School students. And for everyone else, I look forward to seeing you next week in next week's episode. So that's it for now. As always, take care of yourselves.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BGH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.
Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, available in the U.S. For New York, 8778 HOPE-NY, or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers, subject to eligibility requirements, in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.